Thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay. Let's... I hope our Bible class doesn't interrupt. Okay, the first thing is I'm going to have passed around. Just pass them around. Everybody take one or two sheets. One sheet. And these are the corrected spelling of the sheet I gave you last week. Both the long one and the short one. Bowl is correct. It's spelled. And apocalypse. While y'all were being critical, y'all missed apocalypse. So. Yeah. So. So I got the apocalypse in there.
I need a sheet. Judith and I here.
The
long ones over here.
They're coming.
You're just so impatient.
The large sheet, the longer one, is just put in your notebooks and all. The smaller one, if you want it, I made it so you can cut it out and put it in your Bibles at the back of Revelation. So that's what that one is. Well, let's see. We got Jerry and Leslie here, so we get them one.
All right. Well, Leslie, what is Jerry and Leslie here?
Yeah. So you've got two of these, and one of them is the longer. For your notebooks, and the shorter is you can cut it out and paste or tape it in your deal. It has the corrected spelling of bowls and of apocalypse. Now, before we get into class, let's start with a word of prayer. And our prayer is in regard to each other. And we need to be in prayer for Nathan and Pam Harvey. I had an important one. Please pray for the peace and comfort for the Brashear family as Anna, their 8-year-old, is it month or year?
Year.
8-year, went home, be with the Lord. She was diagnosed with leukemia only 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
And died in that short of span. So please be in prayer for the Brashear family. And any
the
other
friends of Pam's?
Yes, the friends of Pam's. Any other prayer requests? Okay, then let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you, to open your word, to study these things, Father, this wonderful book of Revelation. Pray you be with us tonight, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. There'll be no class, no more Tuesday night class. On Sunday morning, the 14th, not this coming Sunday, because I have to get them going, we will have a 9:30 Sunday morning in which we will start a basic understanding of the Bible. And so we're going to be doing the just a very good, very flow through the Bible, basic, putting a lot of things that we've done together in a basic form. And that will start the 14th of November at 9:30. Yes?
How do we arrive at that decision?
You
are.
I wasn't here on Sunday.
I just wanted to give it a shot.
Why?
You should have been here.
Then come on.
Anyhow. Okay. So that's what that is. Now, you have two sheets. One is the longer form, and which we gave out last week, and the one that be that you can, if you wish, put in the back of your Bibles, back to Revelation, with the word bowl and apocalypse correctly spelled. And so take care of those problems. And now you won't be embarrassed to put it in your Bible or in your notebook. And again, chapters 1 through 5, before the tribulation, 6 through 19, 5, the tribulation, 19, 6 through 22, 21, after the tribulation, or the next segment, 1, the glory of Christ, revelation of Jesus Christ, the church age, chapters 2 and 3, chapters 4 and 5, in heaven, the throne of God, 6 through 18, tribulation or Daniel's 70th week, chapter 19, second advent, chapter 20, millennium and last judgment, 21 through 22, 5, eternity, future, new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, and the things that will not be there, chapter 22, 6 through 21, the closing of the canon, and then a more chapter by chapter outline for you, chapter 1, revelation of Jesus Christ, 2 and 3, churches, things which are, 4 and 5, in heaven at the throne of God, things which shall take place, and then chapter 5, the seven sealed scroll, Jesus Christ is the only one qualified to open it, chapter 6, the first six seals, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, chapter 7, the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, many killed, great worship going on. Chapters 8 and 9, the seventh seal broken, and the trumpet judgments. Chapter 10, no more delays in the judgments. Chapter 11, the measuring of the temple, which is the measuring of Israel and the two witnesses. Chapter 12, the two contestants, Jesus Christ from Israel and the seven-headed dragon. Chapter 13, two beasts, the Antichrist from the sea and the false prophet from the land. The Statue of Abominations, and the Mark of the Beast. Chapter 13, packed with a lot of stuff that a lot of people get excited about in Revelation. Chapter 14, the three angelic messengers, the gospel proclaimed, the fall of Babylon, and Armageddon. Chapter 15, what will happen in heaven prior to the final bowl judgments. Chapter 16, the last seven plagues, bowl judgments. Chapter 17, the destruction of the religious Babylon. 18, destruction of political, economic Babylon. Chapter 19, the coming of Christ, the second advent. Chapter 20, the millennium, the great white throne judgment. 21, the new heavens and the new earth and new Jerusalem. 22, the closing of the canon of Scripture. Any questions? Okay. Now, I have a few. This is a verbal type of thing just to see what we've gained in these years. First question. What is the correct title of this book? Revelations or Revelation?
Revelation.
Singular. Okay. Two. Easy. Two. Why do we call the book Revelation?
Revealing of Christ.
Huh?
Revealing of Christ.
Revealing of Christ. It's the first word in the book. Chapter 1, verse 1, the first word. That brings us to point three. What does apocalypse mean? Which is the Greek word that is there in chapter 1, verse 1. Take a look at chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation is the apocalypse. What does apocalypse mean? Okay, you just said it in the second question. Why do we call this book Revelation?
Revealing.
It's a revealing of Christ. Apocalypse, therefore, means
revealing,
uncovering. So that's where we get the name Revelation. It comes from the Greek and the English word, apocalypse. It comes from the Greek word. Okay?
When you hear apocalypse, you always think about destruction.
Yeah.
The end of the world.
Yeah. But it isn't. It's just a revealing, uncovering of the end events.
Does your Bible actually use the word apocalypse?
No.
In the verse? Oh, okay.
No, it uses the revelation. Now, my Greek text does. But no, not my English one, no. The fourth question. To what does the phrase "Day of the Lord" refer? Remember?
Coming back of Christ.
Huh?
When Christ comes back for the church.
Okay.
Or this day.
Huh?
I don't know. I see this day.
What? Okay. The day of the Lord refers in some verses to the whole span from the beginning of the tribulation to the end of the millennium. All of that is covered in the day of the Lord. In other phrases, it refers to the second advent. In other verses, it refers just to the last judgment, the day of the Lord. So just to keep you oriented to what these things mean. I just try to pick out things that people are confused about. The fifth question, who are the 24 elders in chapter 4 and following? Who are they? Huh? The answer? We don't know. People try to identify them. Some say they're of the church. Some say they're of the Old Testament. Some say, we don't know. I'm just trying to help you through these questions to remember a lot of things we don't know. So who are the 24 elders? In truth, we do not know. And don't let anybody try to tell you. All right, six. Who is on the white horse of the four horses of the apocalypse in chapter 6? Is it Jesus Christ? No. It's not Jesus Christ. He comes with war. He comes with the other three horses. There are people who think that because he's on a white horse, because Christ will come on a white horse later on, that it must be Christ. No. That's one of the horses. So I'm just helping you get things settled in your mind that come up in these kind of questions. 7. What temple will be built in the tribulation? The first temple, the second temple, the third temple, the fourth temple, or the fifth temple? Which temple?
First.
Huh?
First.
First temple is Old Testament. David, Solomon. Second temple is Herod's. So it'll be what? Third. It'll be the third temple.
It'll be like the first temple, right?
Huh?
It's going to be like the first temple.
It'll be like the heavenly temple. And the first, which is a pattern after that. Yes?
Well, again, when you think about it, it's under the God's basic number 7 and 3 or 3 and 7, so that's kind of one way to remember it would be the third temple.
Third temple. Okay, whatever helps you.
Yeah.
It's the third temple.
Idea.
It's the third temple. Where do we think it will be built? In Jerusalem, of course, but specifically, where do people think it will be built? Where the Dome of the Rock is. That's where people think. Is that known in the Scriptures?
No,
we do not know exactly where it'll be built. So that, just clarify that. Who for certain are the two witnesses of chapter 11 who die and rise again? Who
Elijah,
for certain?
Elijah and Moses.
For certain?
I thought.
Nope, we don't know. We do not know. Yeah, and that was the follow-up question. Who do we think were the two? Well, Moses and Elijah. But we don't know for sure. They're not identified. I'm just helping you because these are things that people get confused about. And you'll hear...
We've always heard that it's Moses and Elijah.
Do what?
How come we've always heard?
Because that's what people assume.
Where do they get that from?
Because while we think it was Moses and Elijah, Moses and Elijah did not
die. The only one that did not.
Did not. So...
Well, it sounds the reason...
but we don't know for sure. So I'm just thinking, what can we say for sure that comes from the book of Revelation? All right, the 10th question. Who are the two contestants in chapter 12?
Jesus Christ,
seven-headed dragon, okay? In chapter 13, what is the mark of the beast?
We don't know.
Don't know. Don't let anybody try to tell you. We don't know. All kinds of speculations. But we don't. We do not know.
Jerry's mark.
12. To what does 666 refer?
Mark of the beast.
We don't know. We don't know. It's a mystery. We don't know. Okay? In what chapter of Revelation is the Antichrist mentioned by that name? Nowhere. Nowhere in Revelation. Only in 1 John, but never in Revelation. And just try to, so when these things come up, Well, it's not that. It's to help you. That when you're in discussion with people, you go, no, wait a minute. No, that's not in Revelation, or that's not this or that. We don't know for sure. And let's see. 14th question. Who are the two beasts in chapter 13? The one out of the sea is the dictator. The one out of the land is the false prophet. False prophet. 15. Who is the statue of abomination of in chapter 13? When it's put up, who's it a statue of? Yeah, the dictator of the revived Roman Empire. The first beast. 16. Who will have that statue put up in the temple in Jerusalem? Who will have it done? You just told him. Who?
Isaac said the Antichrist.
No, it's of the Antichrist. Well, what we call the Antichrist is called the Antichrist. It's the false prophet. He's out of Israel, out of the land. He's over Israel, and he is celebrating the beast, the dragon, the head of the empire. Okay, so who will have who is the statute of?
Dictator.
Who is responsible for having it put up in the temple?
False prophet.
False prophet. Okay. 17. What country is the false prophet from?
We don't know.
Israel. He's out of the land. He's from the land of Israel.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Chapter 8, the question 18. Chapter 15. See, I wouldn't give it. I remember one time we at lunch, sometimes the professors would come in and sit with students, and I tell you, and I'm not being, but they just seemed to really like sitting with all of us, and Siobhan and a bunch of us would sit there together, and we just laughed. Everybody else is very sacred, very quiet. We're laughing, arguing about who's the greatest athlete and all this stuff. I remember Dr. Ryrie came over and he did it quite often and laughed. And one time he said, you know, one of my worst things I hate to do is give y'all tests, because I look at y'all's grades and look at what y'all answer. I go, wow, I'm a lousy teacher. So, all right, in chapter 15, deals with what happens in heaven before the final bowl judgments. Who can tell me what will happen? What's the main thing that will happen in heaven just prior to it? Huh? No. Great singing. Great praise of the Lord. Praise of the Lord. The sending of the seven angels with the seven bowl judgments. But first, chapter, it's a short chapter, but it deals with the singing from the saints who came out of the tribulation and the sending out of the seven angels with the seven bowl judgments. Okay. Who or what is the great harlot of chapter 17?
Babylon.
No.
Babylon.
All right. It's what part of Babylon? It's the false religion. The whore is the false religion. What do you think of that? Is the whore a prostitute charges religion charges for salvation? That's an easy way to always remember religion and the prostitute or the great whore, because religion always charges for what God gives freely. Okay, 20th. Will Jesus Christ come at the very end of the 7 years of the tribulation? No, then when would he come? Well, it'll be the 7 years cut short. 7 years cut short. We do not know when. Where will Jesus Christ first come at the second advent?
Petra.
Huh?
Petra.
Well, Petra, in the Bible, it's called Basra.
But we think it's Petra.
Yeah, Basra, we think, but it's Basra is the biblical answer. So where would Jesus Christ come first at the second advent?
Basra.
Basra, okay. The 22nd question, Where will the marriage of the Lamb take place in Revelation 19? Where? In heaven. Where will the marriage supper of the Lamb take place?
On earth.
On earth. The marriage in heaven, the supper on earth, and the believers of the Old Testament are invited that are alive. Chapter 24. In chapter 19, who will be the first to be thrown into the lake of fire? Will it be Satan? False prophet and the beast. The beast and the false prophet will be the first thrown into the lake of fire, not Satan. In chapter 20, who will be present at the great white throne judgment? Who will be there?
Unbelievers.
All unbelievers. Why are they there? Are they there because of their sins?
No.
Why are they there?
Rejection of Jesus Christ.
What will be the basis of their judgment at the last judgment? Now, they're there for rejection of Christ. What will be the basis of their judgment?
Their good works.
Good works. In chapter 21, we're told that there will be a new heaven. What will happen in the new heaven of the eternal state?
What do you mean, what will happen?
What's going to happen? Who's there? Whatever. We don't know. We're not told. It just says there'll be a new heaven. And the reason I put this one here is that John Hinz called me about a week ago when I was kind of compiling my list of questions. And he said, who's going to be in the new heaven? Is that where we're going to be with our harps? He was kind of adding that to be funny. But we're not told who's going to be there and what's going to happen there. Okay? Who definitely will be the residents in the new Jerusalem? Definitely, in scriptural. Huh? Who definitely will be in the New Jerusalem? We don't know. We do not know. We're not told. By that I mean, we do not know if there'll be Jews, whether there'll be church age, whether there'll be Gentile. We don't know. We're not told. I mean, to be honest with scripture, we're not told. And John kind of got exasperated by going through all of this. And he said, well, you don't know very much. And I said, well, the Bible doesn't tell us very much.
Herman, you're going to have to curve the grades on this.
So, who
guessed? I thought we were going to be in the new heaven and the earth.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not specifically said. Who will be in the New Jerusalem? And there is debate. Some say it'll be Israel only. Some say it'll be the church only. Some say, and this is what I believe, church and Israel, because of all the reasons that I told you. But we're not told definitely, that's why I put, who definitely will be residents of the New Jerusalem? Who do we...
When Jerusalem comes down to earth.
Yeah, when the New Jerusalem that we studied, who will be its residents? We don't know.
Well, where are we going to be?
Yeah.
Well, that's the point of all of this, hon. That's my point. We're not told specifically. That's my point in going through this, just to capture a lot of things in Revelation. So who do we think will be in the New Jerusalem? Who do we kind of think?
We think we will.
Jews and Gentiles, the church. Okay. Who definitely will be residents of the New Earth?
We will.
Huh?
We will.
We don't know. It doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us. We're not told. Who do we assume, think, logically, that it will be? Anybody?
The people that
the believers.
Have to with all the destruction that became believers.
Well, I think it'll be the Gentiles from the Old Testament, Gentiles during the tribulation, and Gentiles of the millennium will make up the earth. But we do not know. That's my whole point of going through this with y'all. There are a lot of people who say a lot of things, and I want to be sure that I haven't miscommunicated with suppositions. So, who definitely will be the residents in the New Jerusalem?
We don't know.
Who definitely will be residents of the New Earth? What's going to go on in the New Heaven?
We don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know, Jerry. That's
What did he say?
Why are we digging this
cloud? To find out what we don't know.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's true.
Hope you brought us Revelation chapter 1.
How many more questions we got?
One more. Are we told specifically in Revelation or in the Bible very much about ourselves in eternity? Whether we'll be with our husbands, our wives, our children. A lot of people go, oh, I hope not. Will we be with this person? Will it be this? Will it be that? People, I've got to be honest with you. We don't know. One of my favorite gospel hymns is Just Beyond the Sunset. And I'll be waiting for you and all that. I'm sorry. The Bible does not tell us that. I'm just being honest with Scripture. That's what we hope. But what we can say will be there is Jesus Christ on the throne, the Lamb of God, and God on that throne. And that is enough for us to rejoice about and anticipate in regard to eternity. So, any questions on the questions? Any clarifications?
Well, he does say, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And then and he says that no ears have heard, no eyes have seen. So we know whatever it is, it's going to be.
It's going to be fantastic. Yeah. It's going to be fantastic. Jerry, would you pass these out? Let me see, wait a minute. How many do I have? It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 2, 4, 6, 8, huh? Yeah, well, I'll get you another one. I've got more coming in the mail. I want to tell you about these in a moment when you get them. She's already got one. I'm using hers. Yeah. Okay, let me tell you about these. Fast Facts on the Bible Prophecy. I picked this up last year at the pre-trib conference. And about 2 months ago, I got the wild idea that I just wanted to give you something for enduring the class of Revelation with me. And I've bought these off of Amazon Books, ABE Books, ABC Books, just anywhere I could find it. I'd buy one here, two there, one there, one there, and I've still got a few coming in, so everybody didn't get one. They're coming in, but it's taken me this much time to scrounge them up. But I will share with you one funny, interesting story. I found on ABE Books, I found one, and it was like for $10 or something, and that night, just before I went to bed, I checked my email and I got a reply. They were charging me $2,645 for this book. And so what I did, I called ABE Books and nothing. They didn't have anything open at night. So I called my credit card company and I put a hold on my credit card. They had not charged it yet. So I put a hold on that for 24-hour hold. Then I called back the next day, and I talked to just a regular person on the phone, and she said, well, just a minute, you need to talk to this person. So I got the executive, I guess, and he said, well, Mr. Maddox, I'm sorry that you put your credit card on hold. He said, I want you to understand something for future. We would never have passed that through until I personally or someone personally would have called you, not even emailed, called you. Do you want to pay that much for this book? So I said, well, that's good to know. But I didn't know that. Huh? Well, I told him. I asked him. On that third, I said, would you please send me an email that this is canceled? Don't just tell me in words. I'd like to have an email. And he sent me an email that the order had been canceled. So I almost paid $2,600 for one of these books. As far as they were concerned, that's what some bookseller had charged for it. Yeah. All right. Now, the thing I did with this book, Do what? No. What I want you to do is just look through it. You'll see so many things that we've covered. And if you later on want to go back and pick up some things from your notes and put in here. But what I thought, if you had a quick reference and somebody asked you about something, this book is superb. It is superb. By the way, Thomas Ice is one of the keynote speakers at the Pre-Trib Conference. He travels all over the world and in debates about the Pre-Trib versus post-trib, all meal, and all these kind of things, and just the Christian view of things. And he's just a really super guy. But so let's just see what we can do. Abaddon, how many remember Abaddon even in our studies? His angel, okay. But this, all right, so what I'm saying, Abaddon, what was that? Well, you can pull up this book, and you'll have a quick reference. The Abomination of Desolation, he talks about that. Abrahamic covenant, he gives you some information on that. Continuing through the abyss. Age, the word age. Amillennialism. The Antichrist. And by the way, I read through every one of these generally at the VA hospital when I was waiting to do for doctor's appointments and all. And, you know, most of it is what we've studied and agree with. I didn't find, as far as I remember, hardly anything I disagreed with. So it's fairly dependable in that sense. Now let's go on over to page 16, the Antichrist, nationality of. Then you go the Antichrist, the spirit of, the Antiochus Epiphanes, and why he's even here. You can read that. It's fun reading to get a perspective of all of Revelation. The Apocalypse, which we've just studied, Apollyon, apostasy, Armageddon. This gives you a little information and gives you his ideal of the map. Ashen, the pale horse, see the four horsemen. And then under the bees, Babylon, the beast out of the sea, the four beasts, Bema, the judgment seat, the binding of Satan, and the birth pains. Let me just put these on stream. The blessed hope, why that's there. Bodies glorified and resurrected. Bones dry, Ezekiel 37, which we didn't cover. Book of life. Bottomless pit. Bowl judgments, and he gives you a quick summary of those in case you forgot those. Bozrah, talks about Bozrah. Go to the seas. Colosseum, and this is where we get the word 1,000. It's a Greek word. Christ. Church. Let's see. Church age. And then in page 48, clouds, and then covenants, and let's see, 52, covenant theology. What is covenant theology? You might hear about it. You can just grab this book and learn about it. Crowns, Daniel book of, which I threatened that we would study, and we never did. But if you look on page 58, he's got a statute of the statute of Daniel. And you can just have that as a quick reference. It's pretty clear. Daniel 70th week, page 60 and 61. If you get confused on Daniel 70th week, there's a very good illustration and demonstration of it. Four eternal promises of the Davidic covenant. The day of the Lord, which is what we noted a while ago. Dispensationalism. And let's see, dispensationalist, dispensations. Chapter 70, or page 70. Double fulfillment, what does that mean? Page 71, double reference. The dragon, and then the beginning of the E's on 73. Edom, Elijah, why he's one of the selected. Eschatology, what does that 50-cent word mean? Eternal life, eternity. Ezekiel, false prophet, 77. Feast of Israel, there's the feast listed. If you want any words, just to have them real quick for a quick reference. Fig tree, you know about the fig tree. That's man's tree, the work tree. Four horsemen, and there's all of the four horsemen. And if you look under, we had one of the questions, who's on the white horse? Says the white horse judgment. The first horse and seal judgment is the white horse. The interpretation of this writer is hotly debated between two major views. First, that it represents Christ, and second, that it represents the Antichrist. Even though Christ does return in Revelation 19:11 on a white horse, that does not mean that he is pictured here. So the second view is more likely, and you can read that. And then he goes through the rest of the four horses. Page 82, the four living creatures. 83, the fulfillment of prophecy. 85, fullness of time, futurism, one of the possible interpretive views of the book of Revelation. 87 is the G's, Gehenna, what does that mean? Gentiles, and then you'd go to 90, Gog, and we spend more time than you wanted on Gog of Magog. 92, the Great Tribulation. 93, the Great White Throne. 94 begins the ages, Hades, the great harlot, heaven, hell, historicism, the possible interpretive view of Revelation, under page 101, idealism, possible interpretive view, imminency, Israel, page 106, Israel, dispersion of, Israel regathering and conversion of. Page 111, the J's, Jerusalem, Jesus Christ, Jews, Judgment Day, Judgment Seat of Christ, 101:16, Judgments, Judgments Tribulation, Kingdom, page 120, beginning of K's, 121, Kingdom of God, King of the North, King of the South, King of the East, Els, 130, 124, Lake of Fire, Lamb of God, 126, Magog, beginning of the M's, Man of Lawlessness, Man of Sin, Maranatha, that we studied a couple weeks ago, Mark of the Beast, 128, 130, Marriage of the Lamb, Marriage Supper of the Lamb, Messianic Kingdom, Michael, Mid-Tribulationalism, what their view is, Millennial Kingdom, Millennium, page 136, Mount of Olives, 138 begins the end, Nebuchadnezzar's dreams and why it's important to our study, the New Covenant, the New Earth, the New Heaven, the New Jerusalem, Numbers in Prophecy, then page 145, Olivet Discourse and its importance to Revelation, 147, the P's, Palestinian Covenant, 148, the Partial Rapture View, Postmillennialism, and he deals with postmillennialism, explaining that, 152, premillennialism, premill, the 154, preterism. Preterism addresses the interpretive question, when will the prophecy be fulfilled in history? He goes through it, and then in the second paragraph, the preterists teach that most, if not all, prophecy has already been fulfilled. Preterite means past. So they think it's all been past fulfilled. 155, pre-tribulational rapture, pre-tribulationalism. Let's see. Then you go to 160, pre-wrath rapture, and he deals with that. And then in 161, pseudo-Ephraim, deals with what that means. 163, rapture. 164, the red horse judgment. See the four horsemen. Remnant. Restrainer. Resurrection, order of the resurrection. Coming of judgments and resurrection. Outline of Revelation, and then page 170 begins the R's, the heavenly and earthly cycle in Revelation, Revived Roman Empire, 172, 173, rewards, 174, events between the rapture and the second coming, and then 175, Russia, 176 begins the S, sacrifices in the millennium. You want to know about whether there will be sacrifice? Well, there will be. We know that. 177, Satan. Very brief understanding. 181, seals. 183, seal judgments. 184, second coming of Christ. He deals with all of those things. Let's see. 188, Sermon on the Mount, its importance. Seven churches of Revelation, he goes through them, dealing with different aspects of it. 193, Shekinah glory. What does Shekinah glory mean? Who does it refer to? 196, Sheol, signs of the end of the age. 198, preparation for the fulfillment of prophecy. Timing of prophecy fulfilled. 666 deals with that. Page 202, the statute of Daniel. And he deals with there the numerical value of Hebrew alphabet, dealing with 666. People try to relate it to the Hebrew alphabet. Page 204, Nebuchadnezzar's statute. You had it under Daniel. He puts it under Nebuchadnezzar's statue. And 205, stone cut without hands. Comes out of Daniel. Deals with Revelation. 206, begins a tease. Tartarus. And then temple. Deals with the temple. And then page 210, the ten-horned beast. And the ten-nation confederacy. Time of Jacob's trouble. Times and seasons. You had ages, so you take ages and put it with times and seasons. Times of refreshing, times of the Gentiles, times and a half a time. What does that refer to? Times and a half a time. That's right out of Revelation. That's a tribulation. All right, and then right under it says tribulation. All right, let's see here. Deals a whole lot under the tribulation. And then under 223, tribulation martyrs, he talks about them. Tribulation saints, trumpet judgments, you want to know about where they are? Here's a quick survey of them. 24 elders. And then on page 227, the two witnesses. 229W, the white horse judgment, see the four horsemen. Whore of Babylon, see the whore, harlot, great woes. Goes through the first and second and third woes, where they are. Z's, the book of Zechariah, which we refer to occasionally, but here he talks about it and its importance to Revelation. And then 231, Zion. And so I just thought this was a great book. Yes. Very good. If on the internet you want to try to procure this, if I haven't beaten you, I will tell you this on the internet. If you don't mind, under the condition of the book, where otherwise it says not brand new but very good, you get a good or very good, and they're generally $1. They're generally $1, and so you can get these on Amazon. At ABE, if you look, they'll have them for $1. They won't be brand new, but if you read the description, you can pick out the one that suits you best. But the title of the book, Fast Facts on Bible Prophecy. Fast Facts on Bible Prophecy, and the author, double author, Thomas Ice, Thomas Ice, and Timothy DeMay. TimothyDemy, Timothy DeMay. And so you can get these in different places. Well, do you think they want it? Need it? Okay. All right, let's see, ISBN. Oh, okay, yeah. All right, here's the ISBN number. 1-, would you be quiet? You've laughed at this whole book. You've got one. Why won't you go with us? You will probably call me someday and say, hey, Herman, in Revelation, who was on the white horse? And I'm not going to answer you. I'm going to say, go get your book. You heathen. All right. The ISBN number is 1-56507-665-6. ISBN number is 1-56507-665-6. So, if you want to get yourselves a copy, that's a deal. And it really is, like I said, that's why I wanted to read through it with you. So you'd see how much information is at your hand's reach.
Thank you, Herman.
Yes. And you can just pick it up. And if you think you got stuff in the notes and you want to add it to it, you can do that. I had that done. In fact, mine came all apart. My holes punched. And I've lost it. I think I left it at the VA hospital. But be that as it may, I'll get me another one. This is Judith's here. So anyway, now, let me ask in here. We need one. Both of you get one? You got one?
Yeah.
You got one? You got one? You got one? So as far as class here, one I need one. All right? Is that correct? Okay. No. All right. And you may get a used one, cost me a buck, but it'll be in good shape. Yeah, that's the one you want. And I want to thank all of you for persevering through the book of Revelation. It's been I don't know how many years, and do not want to know. Do not. Huh?
9 years.
Do not want to know.
9 years.
Do not want to know. And. But to me, it's just been a phenomenal journey. It's helped me in so many other studies, and will continue to do so. And I encourage you, just occasionally, on a rainy day or something, pick up Revelation and read chapter 22, verse 6 to the end. Just orient yourself once again to those great words of Revelation 22, 6 through 21. And because I'm going to definitely be doing that. It just... fabulous book, and as it said, there's a blessing in just reading it, and I believe that the Lord said it, and there's a blessing if you heed it. That means you live your life according to it, so it becomes an essentially a book that can be give great blessings. Any questions? Yeah, so do I. So Tuesday night, well, no more Tuesday night. We'll go to Sunday morning. Yes. No Tuesday next week. Now, no Tuesday next week and not this Sunday morning, yes. Probably not. I'm trying to limit myself to 1 hour per subject rather than have it take 2 hours for one thing. And it should just flow very well for everyone. That's what it should do. I may have some handouts, and we'll put them on the internet. Okay. All right. So, any other questions about Revelation, schedule, anything? Okay. No, I didn't even put it up for vote. I talked to them, and there were several that said they would be able to. They cannot come on Tuesday and Wednesday night. They cannot drive as far as they have to drive. Get here both Tuesday. By the time they get home, it's 10 o'clock, and they're beat. They can make it one night, that kind of thing. But they can make it. And I had other people say, children, if they could make it early on Sunday. Now, will they? That comes the big question. Will they? So that's the big question. So after 6 months, if it's down to us and y'all want to come back to Tuesday night, I'm game. So if we've gotten those that really want to worship and study, and it really is legitimate, that is just beyond them to be able to get here. I could understand that. And I hope he doesn't mind my saying it, but, you know, Kit said, by the time he comes, he gets home after 10 o'clock. He lives over in Rockwall. And by the time he gets home and gets here, gets home, he just one night a week. But he said, I'm coming Sunday morning anyway. So I'd rather be able to get all three classes because he comes on Wednesday night. So I'm just going to see what will happen and try to make it available to those. I hope it doesn't upset anyone. My objective in teaching the Bible is to teach the assembly that God has given me. And if it's just really, really difficult to come at a certain time, then I've got to do it when you can come. And it's just like the preacher, that new preacher, and he took a little farming church. And he had to realize there were going to be Sunday mornings when nobody was going to be there. They had to take care of their crop, had to take care of their cattle, had to take care of everything. And I told you about the guy up one Sunday, there's just one old farmer down there. And he says, do you want me to preach? And the old boy in his good old country drawl said, hey, I'm a farmer, and I feed the cows. If only one cow comes in, I feed it. If the others don't come in, that's their problem. So he said, okay. So he ran and wailed for 45 minutes to an hour, said amen and got through and looked down and said, what'd you think? He said, I don't feed the whole barrel of food to the one cow. So, we'll just see. I'm here to teach and the schedule that you can come. And if we were in that kind of environment, I'd have to adjust. When and no. That's why, just to let you know in church history, that's why in early American church history, they had all-day church Sunday. They would come in the morning, they would have preaching and singing, then they would break and eat. Everybody would eat on the church ground. Then they'd come back in for preaching and singing, and just before dark, they'd all go home. They weren't able to meet during the week. People lived way too far, coming in wagons and horses and walking, came way too far. So they did it all on Sunday. And they had several classes, several singings, and I don't know if they took up several offerings, but they did all of these things because that was where the people had to be. And we've had the luxury of the daily intake of doctrine being able to do it today, but even now, things are not like they used to be. So I'm here to teach. And if there are more people that can come that would be here anyway and get here 30 minutes earlier, and get in two classes of the study of the Bible, then my goodness, I would be hard-headed not to. I would be wrong in not adjusting to that kind of desire to want to hear. I would be wrong. So we'll just see. I'm like maybe some of you, I don't really like change. I've never liked change since I was a little kid. I adjust to it once I'm there, but I don't like it. So, but I think that this is something I need to try. It's going to be very interesting how I do at that 9:30 service. And so it'll be interesting. And so we will see you as far as Tuesday night's class, two Sunday mornings from now at 9:30. Yes, sir. Thank you. I've enjoyed it. I really have. And we did more than any commentary or book that I've found. I've got about four that I read because I really like the way they handle the languages and theology and stuff. And I just got going in it. But I do promise you, after the basic introduction, the flow of the Bible, and we're going to probably do Colossians, and I will guarantee you it won't take a year. It won't even take, I don't think, 6 months. And then we'll go to another book, and then we'll go to another book, and just start covering some books. I have enough, I think, and hope and pray, after 35 years, that where we could just sort of read through, and I could sit here and talk to you. I will do some preparatory work, but just be able to read through it, rather than where I couldn't have the first part of my ministry. So, anyway, that's what we're going to be doing, and let's close in a word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ can come now. We finished the book of Revelation. And we thank you so much for it, Father. We thank you for all the things you revealed, things that would happen when we're not here, things in eternity where we'll be, Father, and wherever we'll be, whether in the New Jerusalem or on earth. We know that we'll have access to seeing the Lamb sitting on your throne and you, and the river that flows from that throne. We will have the privilege of eating from the tree of life for energy and vitality, enjoyment of life in the New Jerusalem. There's so many wonderful things that we can anticipate and look forward to, setting aside our selfish questions and just finding joy in what we do know about the eternal state. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.